all eyes on that jobs report that we got at 8:30 this morning. 467,000 new non-farm payrolls added in the month of January, a big upside surprise, with some Wall Street analysts originally calling for negative prints because of the impact of the Omicron variant. So let's talk a little bit more about the surprise from the January payrolls report with Sean Snyder, Citi U.S. Wealth Management Head of Investment Strategy. Sean, just your initial thoughts on the jobs report this morning and the market action that we saw following the print.
Thank you for having me. Good afternoon. You know, I think President Biden is likely very happy to celebrate the January employment report instead of defending it. You know, just a few weeks ago, they were kind of talking down the report, and I think the kind of whispered number on Wall Street is that it could possibly be negative. So it was a large surprise. You know, 467,000 jobs added and really strong net revisions to the prior 2 months. So that's great news. And I think when we just think about the economy as a whole, very good news and, you know, positive for our day-to-day lives. But it gets a bit complicated when you think about what the jobs report may mean when you put it in the context of what it means for the Fed and monetary policy. You know, it likely confirms their decision to or supports their decision to raise rates in March. And if you look at what the market is pricing in, it went from about a 20% chance of a 50 basis point rate hike in March to 40% following this report. And it went from, you know, solidly pricing in 5 rate hikes to now about a, you know, 35% chance of maybe more than 5 rate hikes. So sometimes, you know, good news for the economy is sort of viewed as bad news for investors. So it's a little bit of a mixed reaction here from the markets.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that reflected there. You know, sort of the yay, the good news on the labor market, and then we saw the market reaction on the back of that as well. You know, one of the things that we've all taken note of here, the labor force participation rate also ticking higher. And I wonder how you think about all of this in the context of where we are in this recovery. What do the numbers today tell you about how much more room there is to run?
Well, there's some room to run. We're still 2.9 million jobs below where we were pre-pandemic. If we continue at this pace, we should be back to pre-pandemic levels by about July, which is when the Fed is potentially talking about reducing their balance sheet. So, you know, the economy is on track for full employment. I think the Fed can feel confident about that. But they also have inflation overshooting their goal of 2%, which is making them, you know, think that they need to be more aggressive, at least in the front end of this tightening cycle. So that's really kind of how I look at it. You know, I think, you know, this year is really probably going to be best described as a return to normalization. Hopefully, you know, return to normalization for our lives. And hopefully there's less variants of COVID. Fiscal policy is going to be more normal. We're certainly not going to see the, you know, expansive and expensive policy bridge that they built during the height of the pandemic. And I'm going to see more normal monetary policy and probably more normal gains in financial markets.
Okay, Sean, but does massive volatility in the big tech stocks, which make up most of the major indexes, also represent normal? Because I would describe the 2022 trading session so far to be described as a little bit nauseating when you take a look at the S&P 500 and the swings that we've seen just so far in the last month.
Right. I think one of the, you know, kind of side effects of this quick normalization is that investors are becoming more discerning, particularly in the technology stocks that they want to own, because you are receiving less fiscal policy support, less monetary policy support. And, you know, these are long duration assets. Often when you invest in tech companies, the future, the earnings are considered to be more in the future. So you're actually, you know, more likely to move towards companies with strong earnings potential near term. And that's kind of the rotation we've seen in this, you know, inflationary environment. So, you know, I think technology is still probably a great space to be over the long run. I don't think that these companies are all of a sudden become irrelevant, but they have, you know, valuation headwinds at a time when the Fed is talking about more aggressive tightening policy. So investors are going to be more discerning, and I think they're less confident in buying the dip in some of these, you know, richly priced names or previously richly priced names.
Sean, you've highlighted the fact that you don't think that the choppiness that we saw, especially in January, is the start of a bear market. You're saying this is just an intra-year correction. I wonder what you think it's going to take for the market to get kind of these jitters out of the way. Is it really about getting that March hike out of the way so we have a little more clarity? What do you think it's going to take to push it's this not, leg a little higher?
Right. I think there's two things sort of in the way. One, I think when you have a Fed chair, and I think Powell, you know, has generally done a good job, but when you use vague statements like there's a substantial amount of reduction necessary in the balance sheet, that creates a rise in monetary policy uncertainty, and that leaves the market, you know, essentially guessing as to what's going to happen. So I think clarity on monetary policy is one very key component. You know, how fast is this tightening cycle going to be, or how slow is it going to be? And all signs are pointing towards it kind of being a faster cycle, but we don't know yet for sure. You know, the market's pricing in 5, but maybe the Fed ends up going 4. We've seen him talk back some of the comments from the January press briefing, saying that, you know, the Fed needs to be gradual and, you know, certainly doesn't want to tip the economy into recession. So, you know, maybe if inflation comes down, maybe they back off that a bit. But we really need clarity on monetary policy. I think the other overhang that will serve as overhang on the market is the midterm elections. I think we probably also need to get past that as well. So, you know, I think you're going to see volatility the first half of this year for sure. Maybe the back half, it's going to be choppy. But if you look at the data, and I think this is an important point, I just want to drive this home. If we look at the last 10 times the S&P 500 has had a 5% decline or more in January, 70% of the time it had positive returns for the rest of the year. And 2008 was a notable exception where, you know, we had obviously significant losses that year. So if you remove that, the odds are probably even higher. So history seems to suggest that, you know, the market can move higher, but we have to get rid of some of this uncertainty and these overhangs.